Welcome to the Girl Take the Lead Soundbite. And that's a shorter episode, which may be a bit more about a topic we've covered, like our episode today, or quick inspiration. And I'm your host, Yo Canny. In our recent podcast episodes, we have explored energy, both in its role in leadership and digging into it more fully in Dr. Joe Dispenza's book, Becoming Supernatural. How common people are doing the uncommon. As a quick review, in the last episode, we covered the different scientific sources for Dr. Dispenza's foundation, what he means by becoming supernatural, the ways he sees energy by emphasizing the idea that everything is energy, and our thoughts and emotions are forms of energy that influence our reality. We looked at the quantum field, importance of heart and brain coherence, role of meditation and energy centers within the body, and self-healing energy. We also explored clear intention and elevated energy levels to visualize and manifest our outcomes. So cool, right?
Oh, yeah.
Here are some other gems I found in this amazing book. While talking about his own transcendental experience, he realized he wasn't separate from anything. He sensed a oneness with everything, everyone, every place, and every time. He describes it as the most familiar, unfamiliar feeling he ever had in his life. This is the concept of non-duality, and if you're interested in more about that, I'll have a link in the show notes to someone you might want to follow on YouTube, Chris Davis. Okay, back to Dispenza. He goes on to talk more about how the brain works, that for the most part, our brains are a product of the past. It has been shaped and molded to become a living record of everything we have learned and experienced up to this point in our life. Experiences not only enhance the brain circuitry, but they also create emotions. And as we said in the last episode, think of emotions as the chemical residue from past experiences or chemical feedback. And the more we repeat a thought, choice, behavior, experience, or emotion, the more those neurons fire and wire together, and the more they will sustain a long-term relationship. I don't know about you, but I've got lots of long-term relationships with my neurons for sure. Dispenza also says the only way we can change our lives is to change our energy, to change the electromagnetic field we are constantly broadcasting. In other words, to change our state of being, we have to change how we think and how we feel. He says anyone familiar with his work knows he's in love with the power of mental rehearsals involving vivid imaging desired outcomes or experiences in one's mind, often as a form of meditation or visualization practice. He emphasizes the importance of mental rehearsals in reprogramming the subconscious mind and aligning one's thoughts, emotions, and beliefs with their desired goals. By doing this, we create a new neural pathway and patterns of thinking. By repeatedly visualizing desired outcomes with clarity, detail, and emotion, we can strengthen neural connections associated with those experiences, making them more likely to manifest in reality. Yeah. Mental rehearsals are also a way of harnessing the power of intention by sending focused signals to the subconscious and the universe, aligning our energy and actions with our desired outcomes. It goes on to say it's important to engage our emotions during mental rehearsals. The more intensely one can feel the emotions associated with achieving our goals, the more powerful the effect on the subconscious mind and the manifestation process. Like any skill, mental rehearsal requires consistent practice and repetition to yield results. Dr. Dispenza often encourages incorporating mental rehearsals into our daily meditation practice, dedicating time each day to vividly visualize their desired outcomes. So it goes, where we place our intention is where we place our energy. And it also goes, we can take our energy and power back. And it's through meditation, which means it takes effort, right? Let's say we all say, yeah, let's meditate. And I don't know about you, but sitting still is filled with stray thoughts and lots of emotions come up. The monkey mind, as it's called. And here's what Dr. Dispenza says about that. Our bodies have grown accustomed to needing to reaffirm the emotions we've become addicted to. It's like the body is craving familiar chemicals. And when we put all our intention on that emotion, which is in the past, we need to stop and return to the present moment. And it's in that returning to the present that we're telling our body that it is no longer the mind. We are the mind. We are no longer conditioning our bodies to stay addicted to the emotion. And if we do it properly, overcoming familiar thoughts and emotion of our known past and future, then energetically, neurologically, biologically, chemically, hormonally, and genetically, that predictable future and familiar past no longer exists. If I keep returning to the present moment, I am calling energy back to me and have available energy to create. There is, of course, a ton more left in this book. I've barely scratched the surface with this and our last episode, but hopefully I've given you a sense of hope, as this book gave me, when we're stuck in some emotion or lower frequency energies. There's plenty of science to say meditation and visualization can help us manifest a different future. At the end of this book, he cautions us when he says this. What I hope you take away from this book is that it's not enough to change our state of being only when you meditate. It's not sufficient to just think and feel peace with your eyes closed and then open them and carry on throughout the day in limited, unconscious states of mind and body. We have to demonstrate peace, which requires us to get our bodies involved. And that means we have to move from thinking to doing. Every time we change our state of being and begin our day by opening our hearts to the elevated states that connect us to a love for life, a joy for existence, the inspiration to be alive, a state of gratitude that our future has already happened, and a level of kindness toward others, we must carry, maintain, and demonstrate that energy and the state of being throughout the day, whether we are sitting, standing, walking, or lying down. Then, when upsetting events occur in our lives or in the world, if we demonstrate peace rather than unconsciously act in predictable so-called natural reactionary ways like expressing anger, frustration, violence, fear, suffering, or aggression, we are no longer contributing to the world's old consciousness. By breaking that cycle and demonstrating peace by example, we give others permission to do the same. He goes on to conclude this. I believe we are on the verge of a great evolutionary jump. Another way to say it is that we are going through an initiation. After all, isn't an initiation a rite of passage from one level of consciousness to another? Maybe when we see, remember, and awaken to who we truly are, human beings can move as a collective consciousness from a state of surviving into a state of thriving. It's then that we can emerge into our true nature and fully access our innate capacity as human beings, which is to give, to love, to serve, and to take care of one another and the earth. So why not ask yourself every day, what would love do? This is who we truly are. This is the future I'm creating, one in which each and every one of us becomes supernatural. Thank you for listening today, and we sure hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave a comment wherever you listen to your podcasts and join our public Facebook group called Girl Take the Lead, or visit our website, girltaketheleadpod.com. We also have a Girl Take the Lead YouTube channel where your subscription would be most appreciated. I hope you'll check out the show notes for this episode. We've covered some topics that came up, like Mike Dooley's book about manifestations, intentions, the power of regret, Atomic Habits by James Clear, emotions of change, mindfulness, and love and kindness. So you might ask me, yo, why all these episodes and what do they have to do with leadership? And I'd tell you this, we cannot lead others well unless we have taken responsibility for ourselves, our emotions, habits, and reactions. The more we can get out of our own way, we can create space for others and love, care, and treat each other with kindness and compassion. So thank you, dear listener, for getting that and having the courage to step forward, lead, and join our podcast community. In our next episode, we'll shift the energy to something playful and fun. We'll be joined by Juliana Newland, author of the book, All Up in Your Business. Her book is very cheeky and witty, for sure. It may remind you of our second episode we did about humor and leadership with my sister-in-law, Andrea Canny, and neurohumorist, Karen Buxman. I'll have a link to that one as well in the show notes. Please join us again. So many great guests I've got lined up to come. Talk to you soon. Bye.